Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, dear saints of God. Good afternoon, and welcome to another weekly edition of Is This the Church? Well, it's Wednesday, May 11th, 2022, and we, of course, have another wonderful broadcast in store for you. Tomorrow, Sister Marie will be in studio to do her weekly broadcast, the End Time News Report. And if you're in need of prayer, don't forget to send us your prayer request at powerofprayer2018@gmail.com. powerofprayer2018@gmail.com. Well, without any further ado, let me just bring on Sister AJ. We got so much to talk about today. And let me bring her on right now. Sister AJ, how you doing today?
I'm doing good. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing good. The weather's nice. It's almost 80 degrees where I'm at, which is nice. And it's nice and green, and the sun is out. It's beautiful. And so looking forward to this show. So
yes,
looking forward to
too.
This broadcast. Yes, yes, yes. And I hope, I forgot to wish all the mothers a belated Mother's Day. All the mothers out there who are tuning into the broadcast, hope you had a wonderful, wonderful Mother's Day.
Yes.
And so this is a
and also
very
happy belated birthday to you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Yes, I had a birthday, and they took the shackles off for one day. They allowed me to be free for one day. I didn't have to make bricks without straw for one day. And, you know, and they asked me, what would you like as your last meal? I said, what do you mean my last meal? Well, your last meal while you're free. I said, okay, let me have some pizza. So I had pizza with the stuffed crust, you know, the cheese stuffed crust. And but I'm back in shackles. I'm back, you know, I'm back in chains. So what can you do? What can you do? Freedom was short-lived. So
well, at least they gave you a little time off.
That's it. That's it. I got a little time off, and you know, but I'm back on dog duty. And this dog is so big now, and he's pulling me everywhere. And now when he does his business, and I'm stepping over to pick it up, I didn't know that dogs did this because I never had a dog that did it. But they start clawing with their paws. It's like he's trying to bury something. And as I'm bending over
the back kick.
So,
with his back legs. Oh, okay.
Right. So I'm picking the stuff up, and he's kicking grass in my face. I'm saying, how dare you? I said, I'm trying to help you here, buddy. You know, kick the other way. No, but he's you know, kicking back. I got grass in my face, dirt in my face. What is this guy? What's he? Another disrespecter, you know? I get no respect. Not even from the dog that I have to, you know. And then here's the other thing. The park's across the street. So from where I'm at with the dog to where my wife is, she's yelling orders. Hold the leash tighter. Don't let him go crazy. Don't, you know what I'm saying? I mean, unbelievable. I kind of feel like Joe Osteen, you know. Sometimes with Victoria giving them the answers, you know, but what are you going to do? That's marriage. You know, that's it. That's the happy medium of marriage. So I'm out there and, you know, and the people, they look at me like, is he stupid? Doesn't he know how to hold the leash or whatever? And, you know, but I have to endure. So I had a great birthday. Like I said, I had one day of freedom, and it was good. And but I'm back on the inside looking out, you know. And I have to wait till next year for my day of jubilee again when I'm set free for one day. So I have something to look forward to, my day of jubilee. But praise be to God. Praise be to the
Amen.
Lord. So God is good. So we got this show here today. We have this wonderful show. We're beating up on Dallas Jenkins. I'm having a great time doing that. And but you know, listen, there's a few of us beating up on him, but he's rising in popularity. He can do no wrong in the eyes of many. And only a few have, you know, decried some of his shenanigans. But for the most part, everybody's in love with the Wonder Boy, and he can do no wrong.
And so with that,
he just
ignores the naysayers. We're all Pharisees, I guess.
Right. We're all just like the people who didn't get it when he first, when he made that first movie that bombed. You know, we don't get his genius, you know. We don't get his genius. So what are you gonna do with this guy? Other than continue to run his shows and you know, just point out the error, which is abundant.
Right. All we can do is sound the alarm. And it's up to the people what they do with the information.
Correct. Absolutely. Absolutely. So where are we today with this broadcast? Where are we going today?
Oh, okay. Well, with this broadcast, we're going to continue with the behind the scenes / business aspects, because one thing that made me want it to do this behind the scenes look is because Dallas, when he gets in these interviews and things that we've watched, he seems to like to minimize his relationship with the Mormons, and he makes it appear that he's the boss and they don't really play a huge role in anything. But I've discovered, especially with the documentary that we've been using, the audio from, it's a lot deeper than that. He's really entrenched and intertwined with them to the degree that I don't know if he could ever really get out of it. They're partnered not just with what you see in front of the camera, but also they've created the Chosen LLC Corporation, which Dallas is not the CEO of that corporation. We looked at some information with the young man provided with that shows that actually Daryl Eves, the little Barney Rubble looking guy that was on there
doing
the mea culpa with the commercial debacle, he's actually the CEO of the company. And when they went for their little meeting, I thought it was interesting where the guys from Angel Studio basically told Dallas that this is going to be your partner. This is going to be your boss. It's like Dallas didn't have an opportunity to pick his own people that he wanted to be in line with and have just a distribution deal with Angel, which I don't think that would have been a good idea either. But it's more than just distribution with these folks. There are Mormons all through this whole situation, especially behind the scenes, because Mormon ad company is the one that made that crazy commercial. It's another company made by some more of the Harmon brothers.
Right. Well, it's the same thing. What has happened to Dallas is the same thing that happens to a prostitute. The John comes to the pimp, and mm-hmm. he gives the pimp the money, and then the pimp says, okay, go take care of the John, right? That's all Dallas is doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's been pimped out, and so he's got to do what the pimp tells him. That's it. You know, that's basically it. They run the show. Now, of course, you know, In real life, the prostitute doesn't share anything, or the pimp doesn't share anything with the prostitute. But in this case, they're sharing something with Dallas. You know, he gets some money.
Right.
And, of course, you know, he gets to play the game that he wants to play. He wants to play behind the camera. He wants to be called the director. He wants to be the face of the thing. So they let him with that. Listen.
Right.
It's like the mob. The old-time mobsters didn't want you to know they were getting paid. They always had a front guy, right? They always put somebody in the front. This restaurant is owned by so-and-so. No, it's not.
Mm-hmm.
He's just the front man. The godfather's the one getting the money. It's the same thing here. The mobsters don't want to be the front man because the FBI comes after the front guys. That's who they come after. So that's
the Mormons want acceptance in the Christian world as to be our brothers, that they're just another Christian denomination. And so this really opens the door for them to get what they've wanted for a while, which is legitimacy and inroads to the Christian community. It's ecumenical in nature because the other videos we've watched, the target audience, they wanted a show that would appeal to Christians, to evangelicals, and if the Mormons are out in front, nobody's going to trust it. So they got a hold of Dallas's DVD through a mutual acquaintance, someone both Dallas and they knew, and that's how they got the video, and they saw that as a way in. And
right.
Dallas was willing to allow himself to be used because he was so desperate to be this successful filmmaker.
Right. That's it. That's you know, it's like the actress or the actor, right, that wants to make it big in Hollywood, and then they read the script, and the script says there's a sex scene.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And, I mean, for the woman, that's got to be horrible. Right? I mean, but listen, if you want the part, if you want the part,
mm-hmm.
you got it, you right? I mean.
Right.
So it's the same thing. It's the same. I remember the 1980s when rap first came out, and you had all these rappers, and they had the fly girls. Well, if you wanted to be a fly girl, you know what that meant.
Yeah,
right?
It still means that.
Yeah, exactly.
In that community.
Exactly. So, it is what it is. It is what it is, and
mm-hmm.
these people sell out. They just, you know,
right.
they just, you know, prostitute themselves. And you know, at first it's hard because, you're being violated. But then as you go along, it just gets easier and easier. And then you from being violated, you become a violator.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It just, you know, so you just become hardened. And no amount of excuses, I'm sorry, but there's no amount of excuses that Dallas can make where he can say, you know, I'm doing this for the Lord. I want to present the... Listen, Jesus doesn't need you to present him authentically. He's already been presented authentically. What Jesus doesn't want you to do is to prostitute yourself. That's what Jesus...
Right.
That's it. But you're in bed. That's what you've done. So...
Sure.
The Lord would never ask me or you, Sister AJ, to do something that would bring dishonor to him.
No, he wouldn't. The Holy Spirit would never lead Dallas to do this. In fact, he would have been trying to get him to just leave it alone. Don't get
Correct.
Involved with these guys.
Right, right. Absolutely. So, no, this is not, I'm doing this for the Lord. You know, I want to present the authentic Jesus because no one's ever done it before. I mean, that's like Jimmy Swagger saying nobody's ever preached the cross before. Jimmy, you're just retarded. You know, if you thought that for the past 2,000 years, no one's ever preached the cross before. That's just crazy.
That's right.
That's just
well,
crazy.
Dallas is not presenting the authentic Jesus. That's the problem. Because when you're trying to appeal to this wide audience, cast a wide net, as they say sometimes, then what you can't present the authentic Jesus as he presents himself in the Bible, because nobody wants that Jesus.
Right.
They want a Jesus that's agreeable and welcoming to everyone.
Correct. Correct. So, no, this is, you know, this favor that he wants to do for Jesus, because nobody's ever done it before. And it's like, you know, Jesus needs that, you know. Jesus needs for somebody to come and rescue his, you know, his persona. I mean.
Right.
That you're just full of pride. You're just full of pride to think that, you know, Jesus needs you to help him.
Jesus has been waiting helplessly all these years for Dallas Jenkins to come along.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I can't wait for Dallas to be born because, you know, he's going to present me to the world.
Exactly.
So stupid. So much self-centered talk.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Bizarre. Just bizarre.
So we've been watching this documentary, and he was getting into some things also about the lead actor, Jonathan Rumi, and some of his associations with New Agers. And we left off with a little bit left to he was involved with a Jesuit priest. James Martin, I think his name is, who's really into gay affirming things, and also
right.
Jonathan is mixed up with him as well. So we're going to get back into that, and plus I have some additional audios to add. Once we get to a certain place in this documentary, what we're going to do is pause that and then go to these other videos if we get to that part today. And last week we left off at the 1 hour, 32 minute mark. And what I'll need you to do is stop it at the 1 hour, 35, 41 mark. And then from there, I'll tell you where we're going to move it to. So whenever you're ready to get started.
Okay. So 1 hour and
32
to what
32
time?
32 is where
we until 1 hour, 35,
41. Okay, here it is. ...being used to pull people into Catholicism. The guy playing Jesus in The Chosen doesn't believe what the Bible says about LGBT issues. He doesn't believe that homosexuality is a sin and that people need to repent of it or be freed from it. So this is very dangerous, what's happening behind the scenes in The Chosen. It's a little mixture that makes everything very dangerous, and this is more than a little mixture. A little poison can poison a well, and I have to say, with everything that I'm showing you, it's clear that there's a lot of poison to poison the well. This other post, he says, there's still time to join in the conversation I'll be having tonight with Father James Martin, author of one of my favorite books, Jesus, a Pilgrimage, to talk about the greatest person to walk the earth. He put the earth, Jesus. There will also be meditations and reflections on scenes from The Chosen, so fans of the show will really enjoy the evening. Register online, jesuitretreat.org. Hope you can join us. So Jonathan Rumi is being used to pull people into false belief. He's being used to pull people towards Catholicism. And one of the things that's happening in the background is ecumenism. People are saying, you know, I really love The Chosen and I really love the way that Jesus is portrayed. I really love the way that Jonathan portrays Jesus. But the issue is that it's totally mixed with things that aren't of God. If you go to Rumi's Facebook page, you'll see that he's pinned his favorite Amazon books onto the top of the page, and we're going to look at some of those favorite books. Here we have The Jesuit Guide to Almost Everything by James Martin. The next book, Jesus, A Pilgrimage by James Martin. So he's promoting James Martin's books, which means that he agrees with his philosophy and theology. If you look at the rest of the books, most of them are Catholic books, not all of them. But a lot of them are promoting saints. A lot of them are promoting Padre Pio. We see Joel Osteen coming up. A lot of Padre Pio books. What clearly shows is that he's going to the wrong well to get his inspiration for playing Jesus.
During this evening of prayer and conversation, the best-selling author, Father James Martin, spoke of his faith journey. Similarly, Jonathan Rumi, the actor who portrays Jesus in the popular internet television series The Chosen, reflected on his own religious roots. You can pray this guided reflection with your eyes open or closed. choose what's most helpful. If you choose to keep your eyes open, fix them on the image on the screen or a fixed point in your room, but try to avoid looking around the room.
Scully, got a brother. Yeah, that's his brother, Maury. Isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Younger brother, sound a bit older.
Hey, how are you? How you been? What do you mean? Is good? Right, good.
Right, Scully, Maury, and Mary. That's Mary there, Our Lady of Guadalupe. So, dynamic duo, yeah? In a way. Cool. So that's that.
We've developed a trust in each other.
All right, so there you have it, two nuts.
Yes, Jonathan is a little strange, you know, and he was showing off his rings and on his finger and just a lot of these icons that he has with
right.
that one little piece. But he's a little weird acting, but he has a social media, Instagram, and he has a YouTube channel where he's doing Bible readings and meditations and prayers and all kinds of stuff on that channel. And
right.
Because the young man mentioned something about him leading people into Catholicism. And I have seen comments under some of these videos, and we'll see more of this played out in this documentary later, but I've seen the comments where people will say things like, well, I'm not Catholic, but I enjoy praying the rosary with Jonathan. You know, I've seen that a few times in comments, and since we just had Easter season just passed a couple weeks ago, we can see where Protestants were celebrating Ash Wednesday and Lent and all that stuff. So it's
right.
not beyond the pale of possibility that Protestants could begin to do other Catholic things like
sure.
praying the rosary and getting involved in some of these other practices.
Right, right. I mean, I was sharing during the Passion Week season that there's a Reformed church up the block from the little church that I pastor, and the guy was telling me, what are you guys doing for Ash Wednesday? You want to join us? I said, no. Absolutely
right.
not. Join you?
Nope.
No way I'm joining you. There's just no way. So, but that's it. You know, like you said, there are people joining forces, and we can't, you know, we cannot give ourselves over to that.
Right. So it's a possibility Jonathan could be more, he's the Catholic face to this, I believe, and he has in the way we people can sometimes get become fans of these celebrities, they may copy a lot of things that this person does or think it's
right.
okay just because certain people are involved in it, you know, buy a certain product because, you know, you saw your favorite
sure.
sports hero or something advertising it. So we're influenced whether we like to admit it or not, even as adults. It's not
right,
just the
right.
kids.
Right, right. Sure. It's like, you know, Shaq promoting Papa John's. Hey,
mm-hmm.
I already like Papa John's, and I like Shaq too, so let me just go buy a pie. Right?
Right, right.
So, you know, now, if Kanye was promoting Papa John's, I would say no thank you. But Shaq, who doesn't like Shaq? He's a very personable
yes.
person.
Yes, he is.
Right? So that's, you know, you get those kind of people to promote your product. And, you know, this is why in all these commercials, they try to have somebody that's personable pushing their stuff.
Mm-hmm. Somebody
yeah,
that's
yeah.
marketable. And Shaq is probably get just as many commercials now as he did when he was playing.
Even more. I see him in every. He's in the General Car Insurance. He's in Papa John's. I saw him in a Frosted Flakes commercial with Tony the Tiger. He's everywhere.
He's everywhere. And so, likewise, Jonathan Rumi is everywhere because The Chosen has given him a platform, and so he can go to all these places. He's in evangelical circles, and he's definitely making the rounds in Catholic circles. Now, when he's around evangelicals, he tends to be a lot more vague about certain things, like if they ask him what he does to prepare for his role as Jesus, he'll just say prayer, but he's a lot more specific about what that is when he's in a comfortable surrounding. And we're going to listen a little bit of that today.
Right.
So, yeah, he's very influential in promoting this apostate show to the masses and captivating the people who are fans of the show and maybe even directing them to other things.
Right. Think about the two consultants that Dallas has. I know he's got three, but he's got a Catholic consultant, so that doesn't count. So let's talk about the Messianic Rabbi. Why doesn't the Messianic Rabbi set Dallas Jenkins straight on his theology? Why doesn't the evangelical who teaches that he teaches at some Talbot Theological, why doesn't he set Dallas Jenkins straight about Mormonism, right? Well, I mean, what?
Mm-hmm.
So you got to ask yourself, what good are these so-called consultants? What
None
good are they?
At all.
They're not any good, as far as I'm concerned. I mean,
the Lord would say they're the salt that has lost its ability to preserve and give flavor, so it's good
right.
for nothing.
Sure. So. You're a radiologist. You take X-rays and you read X-rays, but you don't catch what's in my X-ray. What good are you?
Right.
If I leave the hospital and you read my X-ray, and you didn't tell me I had three broken ribs. I mean, what good are you? So these are consultants in name only. That's all they are.
Right.
And they love to hang out. It's a possibility. This could have happened. Shut up. You're lying through your teeth.
Exactly. Those things that they say are plausible, no, they're not plausible.
Please.
I just can't believe. No, no.
Please. So, again, that's why we have to be very, very careful with the endorsements that we give out and the people that we acknowledge because, people follow our recommendations.
Mm-hmm.
And we just can't recommend this show. I mean, I wouldn't recommend this show to Satan. I would say, Satan, no, this will mess you up. And you're already messed up. So, it's just bad. This is just a bad, bad show. Everyone
right.
connected with it is just bad. The Jesuits are in the background here. The Jesuits.
Yes, indeed. Yes,
right?
Jonathan counts a Jesuit priest, James Martin, as one of his biggest influences. So interestingly enough, James Martin was also involved with those talking heads in Joel Osteen's program as well.
Right. So there you go. That should tell you everything.
That's right.
And Father Martin there looks kind of gay himself.
I mean,
as soon as I saw him, my gaydar started going off the charts. My gaydar, you know. Exactly. I said, wow, look. I mean, look at him. Yeah, don't let, please, keep your eyes, don't fall asleep on this one.
He's got more sugar in him than lemonade on a cool summer day.
That's right.
Or a hot summer day.
He's got more sugar than a sugar cane. He's, you know, I mean, this guy, wow, amazing.
So there's a reason why he's so heavy into promoting that lifestyle, because he's probably one of them.
Absolutely. Well, you know, he's an abstaining gay. You know, he's gay, but because he abstains.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the line that they give you. I'm gay, but I abstain.
Oh, okay.
You know, well, if
okay.
you're gay, I mean, that's it. You're gay, you're gay. No, that's it. That's it. So
are we at the cutoff
yep.
point there? Close
we're
to?
At the
okay.
cutoff point,
well,
yeah.
We're going to move ahead into Jonathan seeming to promote these graven images and his affiliation with a couple of secret societies. So push it ahead to the 1 hour, 51 minute, 23 second mark. And stop at the 2 hour, 18:22 mark, because I need to set up something before we go further than that.
Okay. Now, 2 hour and what?
18 minute, 22
okay,
seconds.
Okay, sure. Okay. Here we go.
His personal life for relationship with Jesus Christ, it's based on his birth, is a Catholic and baptism as a baby, and pretty much just trying to be a good Catholic all of his life without ever truly having a born-again experience.
And that'll go next good if you can see Jonathan's image of Divine Mercy. Jesus said, I want every home to have this image. And so God...
When did Jesus say that, moron?
I never heard that.
Show me verse... a chapter and verse. Show me. Again, notice how they're all selling something, because the Catholic
mm-hmm.
Church is the one who produces these paintings. You got to buy them from them.
Right. And look at what Jonathan has, because for people, for the visual, he's on a video, a Zoom call or something with his Catholic priest, and in the background, he's got all his pictures and icons and stuff
sure.
so that people can see them, and that's what the priest is referring to.
Right. Here's more.
Bless you for following his directive to get this in your home as well as those who are listening. So God bless all of you.
I have one on my front door as well, to my apartment as well. So
really, Jesus said he wants everybody to have this image in his home.
Just put one on your forehead while you're at it. Just put one on your forehead and walk around with, you know, asinine. Just asinine.
Mm-hmm.
What about the idea of not having any graven images? Where does it say in the Bible that Jesus wants us putting up any kind of image of himself in our homes?
Oh, it does not make unto thee any graven image.
Dallas is quite a guy. He comes from a pedigree. Not being Catholic, he was more than willing and open to your Catholic background and your Catholic beliefs and understanding. For instance, we talked about the image behind you. When you've done your your stuff on Instagram or your prayers online, people have asked, what is that image? And you have an opportunity to teach them a little bit about Divine Mercy and our Catholic faith. So God bless Dallas for being able to help us to actually spread this message of Divine Mercy in a way through you. So Dallas is quite a man of faith.
Notice that the priest says that Dallas Jenkins should receive credit for the spreading of Divine Mercy.
I'm wearing a mantle and a cross with a little crown on it. a knight's cross. 5 years ago, I was knighted by the order of the Sovereign Military Order of the Temple of Jerusalem. I lost my mind there for a second. Essentially, the Knights Templar, which is what that is, and they asked me to join their ranks a few years ago. May have heard that I also had been honored to begin the process of being inducted as a papal knight, which is basically an order of knighthood recognized by the Pope himself. That will be cool if that, you know, when that actually commences into the knighthood.
All of these things with secret orders, Knights Templar, different organizations, none of it's of God. God doesn't want Christians participating in these type of things. God wants our hearts devoted and in allegiance to Him and to Him alone. So this is pretty serious. Jonathan Rumi is a Knight Templar, and he's not hiding it. It's a clear thing. He has been inducted into that order, and he's currently trying to become a papal knight, somebody that is recognized by the Pope.
Finally, he was knighted a few years ago by the Sovereign Military Order of the Temple of Jerusalem, and recently nominated for papal knighthood.
A lady approached us, and she said, "I'm a Mormon, but I love praying rosaries with you and Jonathan. You know, because we've done live rosaries before." And she said, I pray the rosary now.
That's mind-blowing.
Mind-blowing.
And hearing that is like, praise God, it's
all over the world.
Yeah.
And that's from all different walks of faith, you know, whether...
Very ecumenical.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
this is a very serious thing. People of different faiths are coming together around the Chosen. You have Mormons, you have Catholics, you have Protestants. You have all of these different people coming together, and there's a cross-mingling happening. So a Mormon is looking at Jonathan Rumi and saying, "Oh, I love this guy. He plays Jesus so well." And now they're going to go out and buy a rosary because Jonathan Rumi is promoting the rosary on his Instagram and on his social media all the time.
It started a whole other chain of multi-denominational Christians praying Divine Mercy together now regularly on, I have a fan page, and every hour of the day they're either praying a rosary or they're praying Divine Mercy Chaplet or Novena. And I'd say 50 to 70%, as far as I know, are led by non-Catholics, which
That's
is
awesome. You know, for you to being able to lead people to Christ through the beauty of Divine Mercy, in fact, even if you don't say it to them by word, Jonathan, or maybe, you know, when you don't have a chance to meet them personally, I think it comes across in your character, the way that you embraced Mary and looked into her. And this is why I love what Dallas did, because he was open to that, and that being, you know, the Catholic role of our Blessed Mother is so strong, but yet the non-Catholic.
Oh, so Dallas was open to it. That's why Mary mm-hmm. is given so much prominence.
Right. And remember the scene, you know, when I asked you in the scene where Mary Magdalene had strayed and when she
right.
came back, how Mary, the mother of Jesus, was the first one to run to her and cover her head
right.
and take her right in there to see Jesus
right.
and stood there with her. And I asked
mm-hmm.
if you thought that that was a nod to the Catholics to show her co-redeemer role.
Right. Right. That's it. That's you know, now we can see why
mm-hmm.
she has such a prominent role, and none of her kids are ever around.
None.
She's always seen alone.
She showed up right around the third episode of season two, and, you know, she had this very prominent role, you know, the scene where Jesus was off healing people and they were all the disciples were back around the fire talking, and then Jesus
right.
stumbles into the camp after a long day like a beat-on rented mule. And
right.
Mary is the one that goes to him and starts wiping his head and cleaning him off and tucks him into bed when he goes to bed that night. So it was it's her role increased during the second season. And I wonder, this looks like a Catholic nod to me.
Sure, sure. Subtle. but it's there.
Very subtle. The subtlety
of the surface.
Yeah,
they're not advertising it. Yeah, they're not advertising it, but it's there.
And also, you have to remember that, you know, for what it's worth, Jonathan is the Rumi is the lead actor in this show, and so they tend to have some influence over how scenes are done or changes to the scripts and just all kinds of things that they can do to that find its way into the finished product.
Right, right. So he's giving nods to the Mormons as far as giving them a Mormon Jesus. He's giving a nod to the Catholics, giving them a Catholic Mary. So, again, he's a prostitute. Why? Because whatever the John asks you to give him, that's what you give him.
He's in bed with everybody that comes along that's got the money to pay.
Right. Sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. I can imagine, you know, if I was to write Dallas Jenkins' life, I'm imagining him right over there by the Red Hook Pool, uh, 664 Henry Street, right over there by the Red Hook Pool where the Lorraine Street bus passes, and I can see him in a miniskirt, and he's a hoe. That's how I imagine him. You know,
in my hometown, we called it the Bottoms.
The Bottoms?
That part of town, we called it the Bottom.
Okay, there you go. So, because you know, I'm doing what he does. He imagines Jesus, so I'm imagining him.
Right.
I mean,
exactly.
I mean, if he can imagine Jesus, then I think I can imagine him. And that's how I imagine him.
As we know, the Bible uses that type of imagery when it comes down to people turning to other religions and idolatry.
Sure.
The Lord uses that analogy sometimes in the scriptures.
Absolutely. And not only that, he uses that for, like, for example, with the prophet Hosea, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hosea's wife,
yeah.
He says, she's a harlot. Because Israel,
right.
My people, are a harlot nation. It's the same
right.
thing. Right? So, we're only speaking in biblical terms. The only thing is, Dallas likes to put everything in a 21st century context, and my 21st
right.
century context is hoe. That's, you know, because I'm from the 21st century.
Mine too.
So, you know, all right, let's see what else they have to say here.
So is that the stopping point, or we got a little more?
We're at 156.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah, we got a whole lot to go.
Okay.
It's got to experience your love or Christ's love for the Blessed Mother. The Catholics have been given special graces. Now, we know that, but we want to share that. And this is an opportunity to share God's mercy with everyone.
Pray it, if for no other reason, for peace within yourself.
And you know what? Jesus says mankind will not have peace until he turns with trust to my mercy. So you just hit it, because inner peace, worldly peace, has to start with inner peace.
Mm-hmm.
Notice, if you want peace, pray the chaplet. That's not what the Bible says that brings us peace. The Holy Spirit operating in our lives. Notice how the chaplet is actually taking God's role. You know, what I would say is, if you want peace, run to Jesus. If you want peace, let Jesus find you. Let him into your heart. Stop avoiding him. Stop rejecting him. Stop disobeying him. Jesus is the answer for peace, not some rote prayer that was given to a Polish nun in the 1900s by a vision of Jesus.
Is that it's brought me peace. And if you're looking for peace, more peace, inner peace, spiritual peace, start praying the chaplet.
That's awesome.
We live in a day and age where everything's getting very mixed up and where there's a lot of misinformation. There's a lot of deception. But if you look at the Catholic Catechism compared to the Bible, it's clear that the Catechism conflicts and contradicts the Bible. That's why in Catholicism they have to elevate church tradition on par with Scripture, which is totally forbidden and totally inappropriate to put something that man creates on par with what God has demonstrated and stated in his word. So though many Catholics will act like Protestant Christians are on the same team with them, doctrinally, according to Catholic teaching, that's not the case at all. According to the Council of Trent, anybody that believes, according to the Bible, that it's by grace alone and faith alone, it actually says that they should be damned to hell. So for anybody that doesn't adhere to the Catholic sacraments and doesn't go and receive the Eucharist and doesn't participate in penance, which is confession, according to the Catholic standard, then your sins cannot be forgiven. You are going to be judged and sent to hell.
Psycho killer, qu'est-ce que c'est?
So hunker down. We gotta hunker down. And just get to it.
Hi, everybody!
Pray hard. Gotta pray hard.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death.
Rosaries, that's chosen season 2 rosary. This is a special Divine Mercy rosary for St. Faustina. And there's Jesus. And it's all about Jesus. All about Jesus before anybody like, wait a second, the rosary, you! Ah! No, it's about Jesus. St. Padre Pio, that'll right there. See the St. Padre Pio. So many of you know Scully. A lot of you that don't know me are freaked out by Scully.
But before I do, I have to say a word of thanks to Hallow, who I know you're a fan of as well.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
May have read a couple of sleep stories.
Yeah, a couple. Yeah. Maybe doing a couple of things with them coming up again soon. So
we also see a collaboration between Jonathan Rumi and Hollow. Hollow is a Catholic prayer app, and it's a pretty big one. In fact, if you research a little bit, it's a multi-million dollar prayer app. And so what Jonathan Rumi is doing is he's promoting this app and getting a lot of Christians, a lot of Protestants to participate in these prayers and suggesting that, you know, anybody can benefit from it. You don't have to be Catholic to benefit from it. But if you go to the app itself, man, it's filled with Catholicism. It's filled.
See, the prostitute or the harlot of Babylon doesn't want you to become a harlot like her. That does not, you know, that's not her end game. Her end game is that she has a cup that she wants you to drink from. It's the cup of abomination. So not everybody is a harlot. She's the mother of harlots, right? But she produces harlots, but not everyone is a harlot in the sense that, like for example, Dallas Jenkins has moved into harlot territory. Why? Because he gets paid for what he does, and he's betraying Jesus. This guy who plays Jesus, the Rumi guy, he's a harlot because he's getting paid, and he's betraying Jesus. Right? So when you go to a church and there's a pimp preacher, not everyone in the church is prostituting themselves like the pimp preacher, but all the pimp preacher wants you to do is give him money, one, and two, drink of the abomination that he serves in the cup. So not everybody graduates into prostitutehood. Not everyone joins, you know, the team of prostitutes, but if you frequent the place and if you drink of the cup, now you've been contaminated. See? So they don't care about See, they don't care about everybody becoming a prostitute. They just want you to fornicate, spiritually fornicate.
That's right.
And one fornication is good enough. See, the one time you join them to do the rosary, that's a fornication, a spiritual fornication act. Now, it doesn't mean that you're always there every Friday joining them and saying the rosary. But you do it once, now that's on your ledger. That's on your sin ledger. See?
Yes.
You know, so like people who get addicted to pornography on the internet. Well, they're not the porn stars in the video, but they drink of the cup. See?
Yeah.
The person watching on the other side of the computer, they're not in the porn industry. They're not getting paid. They're not promoting the porn industry. They're just drinking from the cup. And drinking from the cup will damn your soul. See, that's the issue. So Jonathan Rumi is just out polluting people. That's what he wants to do.
That's right.
That's what he's doing. He's just out polluting people. And he's good at it. He's just, you know.
Very.
That's his thing. That's his thing. And Dallas, I mean, he's a big porn star. He just, the guy, think about it. Why was it easy already for Dallas? Why was it already easy for him to join the Mormons? Well, because he was already with Hollywood.
That, and he was with James McDonald. I have to believe that whole, he was there for about 7 years, so I have to think that had an impact on him spiritually.
Sure, absolutely. So you see, it's easy for him to go from one movie scene to another because he had already done it. And he was comfortable with it. He was comfortable. And now he'll do any, think about it. You're going to Rome to see the Pope. All you have to do is, did you read the Left Behind series that your father co-authored? Did you read that stuff? Because Rome is very prominent in the Left Behind series.
Mm-hmm.
It's Rome is very prominent. And you don't know? Your daddy didn't tell you? Well, of course, I suspect your daddy's doing the same thing you did. Just because he wrote the Left Behind
possibly.
Series doesn't mean he believes it.
Doesn't mean he believes any of it. No.
Right. Right. He's just spinning a yarn. He's just imagining. So, again, this is what it is. This is how nasty these people are. They're very, very nasty. And they just want people to do what? To drink the cup. That's it. Drink the cup. She's got that cup full of abominations. And drink the cup. That's what it's all about. That's why I had to leave the church. When I left the church in the city, I had to. Why? Because every church that I used to go to now had a cup. See, and so you have to leave. Because now every pastor that I went to, he had a cup in his hand. See, and that's the issue. And you know, so it's not becoming like them. No one's gonna turn into, Bodala. No one's becoming a Kenneth Copeland. No one's going. Regular church people aren't going to the Joel Osteen level. They're not going there.
Right.
But they're drinking from the cup. See, and that's how they get polluted.
Right.
That's how they get corrupted. You drink from the cup. If you listen to what's her name? Jennifer LeClaire. Okay. That chick will say anything for an offering, Jennifer LeClaire. But it's the people who join her ministry and drink the garbage that she's serving up. See, they're the ones who get polluted. Now, they're not her. They're not on her level. They're not a madam. That chick is a madam. I apologize for these calls that I'm getting. I do apologize. But, you see, hold on 1 minute. Hey, Sister Audrey, I'll call you back. Okay. So, one of my church members. Anyway.
Okay.
So, you see, listen, it's not that they're at the madam level.
Right.
Because very few people, the churches, the way they're set up today is Joel Osteen and his wife Victoria, they're the ones, running the whorehouse.
They're at the top.
Right. That's it. It's their kingdom. It's the Ahab. They're the Ahab and the Jezebel.
Mm-hmm.
But, you see, God says to the prophet Elijah, I have 7,000 who have not bowed before Baal nor kissed them. See, I have 7,000 that haven't drunk from the cup. And Ahab and Jezebel, mm-hmm. their job is to get people to drink from that cup.
That's right.
That's their job. So these preachers are enticing people, drawing people, getting them to depart from Christ by drinking of. And Dallas, boy, I tell you, God talks about drinking of the cup of his fury. You talk about a cup, because their cup is full of abominations. But his cup
is
full of fury. It's the cup of judgment, eternal, damnable judgment. That's how serious this stuff is. They're polluting people. That's what they're doing. So, that's why when we celebrate communion at the church, we always mm-hmm. read where Paul says, for I have received from the Lord that also which I give unto you, the night in which he was betrayed, he took the cup.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's mm-hmm. not the cup of prostitution. That's not the not the cup Dallas Jenkins is giving you. Right?
No, it's not.
So there are all kinds of cups in these churches. All kinds of cups being get, and people just drinking the stuff like it was Kool-Aid. So, you think about going to a church where Paula White is the pastor. And think about all the garbage that woman has been serving up over the years. I mean, that is the cup
right.
of abominations.
Whoredoms.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. She's been in bed with everybody and everything, both physical and spiritual.
That's right.
There's some nasty. I mean, look at Bishop Eddie Long. Look at Bishop Eddie Long. Think about Bishop Carlton Pearson, what Carlton Pearson is serving up today.
Yes.
Right? Think about what Master Prophet E. Bernard Jordan is serving up today. The guy has a birthday coming up on June 11th. And he's asking people to sow a seed, a birthday seed, of $969. Dude.
Mm-hmm.
He calls it the Methuselah seed. Well,
because
you couldn't call it.
Lived 900. That was the number of years he lived.
Right. So you couldn't call it the daughter of Jairus seed, who was only 12 when she died, so that people can only give you $12? You
of
have to go to the
not.
Oldest guy in the Bible? You see, so all of this, All of these are the cups of abominations. There's so many abominations in our churches, so many.
Mm-hmm.
And look at this guy, the rosary. He's pushing the rosary. And Dallas knows
yes.
he's pushing the rosary. How do we
and
know this?
He doesn't care.
He doesn't care because they made an inside deal already. You got to give Mary some props. Now, of course, we're going to be subtle like the serpent. We're not going to blast it. But you got to
mm-hmm.
give Mary some props. You
right.
got to draw the
and
look. Dallas wants a billion
such a
people.
Way, the scenes were done in such a way where you could look at it and think that it. Like with, for instance, how she went in and embraced Mary Magdalene coming back, that's something that anybody would probably do in a church setting when you see somebody come in that's kind of been gone for a bit and you know they may have been into some stuff and you see them come back and you're happy, you embrace them. If they want to go for prayer, you'll pray with them or you'll hold a hand while you take them to the whatever. It's stuff
right.
that you could probably relate to, and it might go right over your head.
Right.
you know, but I was just looking at it to review one day, and it's like it hit me right in the face. It's like,
right.
oh my
See,
goodness.
Right. See, if you're a former Catholic, like I was, because on my father's side of the family, they were hardcore Catholics. So I grew up
right.
in a divided world, right? My mother's family
mm-hmm.
was Pentecostal. My father's side were hardcore Catholics. Okay. In the Catholic Church, you were always taught that Jesus was always mad and that the way you could get to Jesus is you got to go to Mary. Mary will soften him up for you.
Right.
Because he's mad. Mm-hmm. He died on the cross. He shed his blood. You sinned. He's mad at you because you took his sacrifice as though it was garbage. So now the way to get back to Jesus on his good side is you got to go through Mary. That's what I was
right.
taught. That's how. So notice in the scene, how does Mary Magdalene get back into the good graces of Jesus? Well, the connection is Mary. The mediator is Mary. It's
mm-hmm.
blatant. It's blatant.
Yeah.
If you know what you're looking for, right? I mean, it's obvious.
Right.
And this ain't the Mary of Scripture. The Mary they're presenting to us there, that's not the Mary
right.
of Scripture. So this is nonsense. And think about it. They want to do 7 or 8 seasons. By that time, all these people watching, because, you know, they start out slow. They start out a little, you know, they start out with a little bit of leaven. You can hardly tell there's any leaven in it. But by season 8, boy, you would have drunk of that cup so many times that now you're completely polluted. See, and the angle
That's
is
right.
love. Let's love one another. Let's love. Let's just love. Let's love everybody. Like Rob Bell said, love wins. In the end, love wins. That's all that matters. Love wins.
That's right.
Yeah. This guy did a very good job, by the way, on this video. He did an excellent,
yes, he
excellent,
did.
Excellent job. Excellent job. Excellent job. Here's more.
With different things that are totally...
By the way, we're only at the 2-hour mark. And we're stopping it at
okay.
the 2:18 mark, so we got 18 more minutes to go.
Okay.
Scriptural and totally unbiblical. And on top of that, Jonathan Rumi is reading sleep stories. He's praying a lot of prayers. He's even reading the Gospels. So what's happening is people are having their idea and their understanding of Jesus be merged with Jonathan Rumi, who is not Jesus. He's the guy with the past who's an actor. And you have to remember, actors are good at acting. Many actors would never, ever in a million years even be able to demonstrate what they display on the big screen, whether it be the most secular actor to even, a more religious actor like Jonathan Rumi. So in this case, this is really serious. People's ideas of Jesus and their understanding of Jesus is being merged with Jonathan Rumi and his personality. We're going to see later on that people are even saying when they read the Bible, they visualize Jonathan Rumi and some of the actors. When they pray, they visualize Jonathan Rumi. That's idolatry. That's blasphemy to do that, to put a human man in the place of God and in the place of Jesus. And so this is more serious than can even be conveyed in this short video.
And with a Catholic actor and evangelical actors and non-believer actors and crew people and Latter-day Saints and all Pentecostals, like it's a whole smorgasbord. There's Muslims. I mean, it's a huge family of people that just want to tell a really good story. I mean, what's not to love about the Mother of God? She's the only woman in history to be the spouse of God, the mother of God, the child of God, all wrapped up as one, which is just like, boom. So when you think about that, it's like, how do I not give her honor and reverence? I love that I've gotten to, grow closer to her these last few years as my faith has deepened. My favorite thing about being Catholic is our understanding of the Eucharist. So many non-Catholics are like, that's great, I love that. And,
yeah.
And people are like, started buying rosary beads and saying praying the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and they're not even Catholic. So
he's another saint that has been popping into my life over years and dreams and like that. So yeah, I also am very, people know, a lot of people know I'm very partial to Saint Patrick Hill as well.
Happy birthday, baby Jesus.
I want to know, how does Mary become the spouse of God?
I don't know.
Apart from all the other crazy things he said there, how does Mary...
That sounds like Babylonian stuff, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, even though we know, because wasn't she the spouse, Semiramis? The spouse of him, of what she was put up as God, and the mother also?
Right. The mother and child worship template.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, when does Mary become the spouse of God?
I don't know. That threw me for a loop, too.
Yeah, and... You know, I was hoping that he would give an exposition on that as I was hearing, but nothing came forth. Now, in demonology, if you recall in the movie Rosemary's Baby, Satan
yes.
takes on a wife, Rosemary, and he impregnates her, and that's where the Antichrist comes from. But that is not a biblical concept where God has to have a spouse. In fact, Israel is God's spouse, right? In the Old Testament.
Yes.
So just like the church is the bride of Christ. So how in the world can God have
unless
a spouse?
Unless he let something slip that he wasn't supposed to, because you know he's in what these secret Knights Templar societies and stuff,
right.
And they get into all kinds of stuff.
Sure. But I was hoping, you know, that he would give some explanation, but none came forth. So, all right, let's continue to listen.
So, birthday boy, for those of you on Instagram, those of you on Zoom, Facebook, YouTube, you can see it. One of my favorite Christmas sweaters. That's a skull. And people that have never seen that before, and that's a St. Benedict cross. And these are like chrome, like if I ever got into a bad situation, as long as I got my rosary beads, I literally have a weapon with these things. These are legit. They're legit and completely legal. So, God forbid. So Memento Mori.
if you go to hallow.com/Jonathan. 30 days free at hallow.com/Jonathan. Or just swipe up and it'll take you straight to the app.
In her visions regarding divine mercy, Jesus himself said to St. Faustina, proclaim that mercy is the greatest attribute of God. I thought to myself, wouldn't it be cool if there was a divine mercy icon that I could hang in my little apartment made in the style of a Greek Orthodox icon? That would be awesome. I mean, if that existed, I'd be really holy, you know. This showed up outside my door on top of the mailboxes of the dusty first floor lobby of the building in which I lived.
Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image.
But I grabbed this icon as fast as God grabbed my attention in that moment, and it's been with me for 17 years. And so this image has become the center of my Divine Mercy prayer time. Those of you who have prayed on Instagram with me will recognize it.
Can anyone say idolatry?
Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me.
Thus the two thieves would begin a friendship and working relationship between myself and Dallas Jenkins that is now 6 years on.
The two thieves? I mean, listen, this whole conversation is just bizarre, but the two thieves.
Yes.
Another faux pas. At least he's telling the truth. They are two thieves.
Very much so.
Yeah. This is just wow. Let's just talk about The Chosen as a series on its own. Let's put Dallas aside. Let's put this nut aside. Let's just talk about The Chosen. You take all the DVDs of The Chosen and just throw them in the garbage. No good. That's just no good. But this stuff here, this is a double reason why.
Mm-hmm.
This, you know, because The Chosen as a show stinks. Like I said, if you said to me SpongeBob and Patrick or The Chosen, I say, let's watch SpongeBob.
SpongeBob.
Right? I mean, I'd rather SpongeBob and Patrick or The Chosen. Hands down, SpongeBob. Hands down. Elmer Fudd and Bugs Bunny or The Chosen. Hands down, Elmer Fudd and Bugs Bunny. Hands down.
Mm-hmm.
Popeye and Bluto or The Chosen. I'm going with Popeye and Bluto. You know, please. There's not even a there's no competition. None whatsoever.
This looks like a tool of the devil, as you said, to tempt people to drink from that cup of abominations.
That's it.
Mm.
I always tell people, look,
with that one, bro.
listen. I used to tell people in church, because people used to say, you know, I know my bishop is with Rome, but I'm not with Rome. I said, no, but you're drinking of the cup. See, you don't want to admit. He's a prostitute. He's got the purple and scarlet. He's got the prostitute's colors on him. But you're drinking from the cup. And that's what people don't get. It's not that you're wearing the purple and the scarlet. It's not that you're not being admitted into that club. You're not being admitted into that club. But you drink out of the cup. You drink out of the abominations. For example,
right.
Ain't nobody going to be invited to fly on Kenneth Copeland's jet. Kenneth Copeland flew the jet down. Look, saints, look at the jet that the ministry got, and everybody's jumping up and down. They're so excited. They're jumping up and down. You ain't flying on that jet. What you so happy about?
Right.
You're not getting – that's for the prostitute. What the prostitute has for you is not a plane ride. He's got a cup, the cup of pollution. That's what they have for the – you know, when you go to the Catholic Church, when you go to the Catholic Church and you watch a Catholic Mass, you download a Catholic Mass and you look at it. Well, the people are coming up, and what does the priest give them at the end? What he has a golden chalice, and all those people are lining up to do what?
They drink out of the cup.
That's it. That's exactly what's you – now, you're not a priest. You're not even an altar boy. You're not even a nun. But their job is to get you to drink out of the cup.
Mm.
That's their job. And the moment you do, now you're polluted.
And what you're saying reminded me of 2 John. Can I read? I'm just going to read.
Absolutely.
Verse 10 and 11 where it says, well, let me start at 9. Whoever trespasses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house nor greet him, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. That's 2 John 9-11, New
right.
King James.
There you go. There you go. See? So it says, let me just quickly grab my Bible here. Where did
okay.
I stuff my Bible? Can you find Revelation chapter 2 real quick? Revelation 2. My boy didn't bring my Bible up. These kids, they only do, you know, they eat the whole pizza, but they don't do the whole job. Yeah, let me. All right, Revelation 2. It says in Revelation 2, this is the church of Thyatira, right? Sister AJ, can you hear me?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, I'm sorry. All right, Revelation 2. It says here, verse 24, Revelation 2:24, Jesus speaking to the church of Thyatira. But unto the rest of you I say, unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan. See, there are people who have a doctrine, and that doctrine initiates them into the depths of Satan. They're drinking from the cup. But unto mm-hmm. the rest of you in Thyatira, as many as not have the doctrine of Jezebel and who have not been initiated into the depths of Satan, upon you I place no other burden. See, there are people in Thyatira that didn't follow this crazy woman. They didn't prostitute themselves with the cup that she was offering. So to those people, Jesus lays no blame. They didn't
right.
do anything wrong, and they kept themselves pure. So there's a faction in the church that keeps itself pure while the rest are drinking out of the cup. See? And the Lord makes a distinction between the two groups. They're in the same church, but there's a group that are drinking from the cup, and there's a group who refuses to drink from the cup. And that's just the way it is. And that's why we have to have spiritual discernment.
Yes.
And these guys here, I mean, this guy, this Jonathan Rumi, I mean, this guy is, he's a tool of Satan.
Yes, he is.
You know, it is what it is. So, all right, let's see.
So, daily mass, praying the Divine Mercy Chaplet, confession, receiving the Eucharist, saying the rosary, all of those became essential parts of directing, acting, producing, and the modus operandi of any and all issues.
But we know that this isn't true. The Bible doesn't put all these hoops for us to jump through. So the real danger, again, is that you have Jonathan Rumi portraying the authentic Jesus, and in the background, this is who he believes Jesus to be. He believes that the authentic Jesus is the Jesus of Catholicism, and the Jesus of Catholicism has not paid a full, completed debt for our sins. He hasn't paid for our sins in full. The Jesus of Catholicism, in many ways, is adherent to Mary and subjected to Mary. Mary is actually even above him in many people's viewpoints. That's why they don't go and they pray to Jesus. They pray to Mary. The Jesus of the Bible paid for sins once and for all. In fact, on the cross, what Jesus said when he yelled out, "It is finished," in the end of John, the word is tetelestoi, which means the debt has been paid in full. In Catholicism, the debt has never been paid in full, which is why there's purgatory.
You know, my friends, a lot of you have been asking for me to read the scriptures, and I'm here to tell you that now you can hear me reading all four Gospels on Hallow exclusively, with more coming soon. Hallow is the number one app for prayer, meditation, music, and now, Audio Bible. Hi friends, Jonathan Rumi here to share my newest collaboration with the Hallow app, an amazing prayer and meditation app. June is dedicated to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and I'm excited to be leading the Sacred Heart Novena in Hallow that begins on June 3rd and ends on the Solemnity of the Most Sacred Heart, June 11th.
Towards God, all our prayers are airlines. This is just one airline versus another airline. It's all going to get there. You know what I mean? My mother gave me this little statue. It's called Sleeping St. Joseph. And every time I look at it, I'm like, oh, shh, quiet. St. Joseph's sleeping. Don't wake him. He's had a hard day.
And it's based on that image there, and it says, Jesus, I trust in you. And you don't have to be Catholic or anything to say them. And, O fount of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world. O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus is a fountain of mercy for us. I trust in you.
Why do we pray the chaplet at 3 o'clock? Because everything he said to do at 3 o'clock revolved around his passion. And what's the chaplet of divine mercy? About his passion.
Amy from Orem, Utah. I am not Catholic, but I started joining your prayer hour on Instagram. I have grown to love the Divine Mercy chaplet.
Mm-hmm. It brings me peace. It brings me balance. It stills my soul. And it changes my disposition.
Mm-hmm.
And when Jesus is a part of you, that's what happens.
Yeah.
And to physically receive that, it's a miraculous transformation that we can have the true presence in the Eucharist. And so why wouldn't you want that?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you want to feel that sense of peace and that sense of just serenity? George from Seinfeld's phrase comes to mind, serenity now, serenity.
Serenity now!
And, that's kind of what happens, like, serenity now! Amen, you know, body of Christ. We have a rabbi who's one of our consultants. We have a Catholic priest, a rabbi, and an evangelical priest. Jason Sobel.
Yeah, we just had him on yesterday.
You had Rabbi Sobel?
Yeah.
You're kidding me.
He was great.
Oh, he's amazing.
He's such a beautiful guy. What you talk about it.
So, Rabbi Jason, I went to Israel with you last year where we visited some of the sites. It was my first time, and you did.
You went to a healing meeting. Even though you're praying for people that are being healed, you go to a healing meeting, and our friend, who's been a guest many times on this show, Bill Johnson. this teaching on healing, but somehow you ended up in front and he prayed for you. What happened?
And when this shofar sounds, it is going to be released in your life, and you are going to see the breakthrough in the name of Yeshua Jesus. Walls are going to fall. Things are going to open in his name.
Jason Sobel is one of the people behind the scenes in The Chosen. He's one of the religious advisors. Now, this guy runs with a lot of false prophets and a lot of false teachers. You're going to see some photos of him with Sean Bowles, a false prophet. He's the guy that said right at the beginning of coronavirus that he went to the throne room and God told him that coronavirus is going to be over very, very quickly. And, you know, it's been like a year and a half, 2 years later, and nothing has really changed at all.
The people that Jason Sobel is getting photos with are spiritually off the wall. Some of them are false prophets. Other of them are just extreme hyper-charismatics. And so it's really troubling to think that this is the guy who Dallas Jenkins is looking to for credibility for The Chosen. In this post, he's praising Patricia King, who, if you look into her, is clearly a false prophet.
And we want to invite you to ring in the new spiritual new year of 5780 with us Sunday night, September 29th. We hope to see you guys there. It's going to be an amazing evening. See you there.
You know, these guys are just prostitutes. That's it. You know, they're all bed hopping. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Listen, I was willing to raise chickens and geese and duck and turkeys than rather hang out with these people. I was willing to go chop wood, right? I mean, to get out of that metropolis where, I mean, it was anything goes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you talk about having no discernment whatsoever. And as you can see, these people are just hanging out. They're buddies.
Yeah. Yes, they are.
They're
all are welcome.
Right. It's just Looney Tunes. And I know why they do it. The money. See, it's all about the money. That's what it's about.
And the platform it can give you, and especially since The Chosen has become successful now, it opens a lot of doors for some of these guys.
Well, this rabbi, I mean, I'm sure he was already successful before The Chosen. Now, forget it. He's off the charts. He's off the charts now, right? I mean, and if Dallas does anything stupid, he could let's say, because you know Dallas is gonna only do stupider things. You just know that leavening
to get worse.
Because the leavening gets worse. We proof of that is the stunt he just pulled. With the graffiti on the posters, right? Okay, that is blatant deception, is what that is. So what wouldn't he do if he already did that? What wouldn't he do? And then he shows up, you know, mea culpa, mea culpa. I didn't know you guys were going to have that kind of reaction. I'm so sorry.
Right.
Dude, you're a wolf. You're a wolf. That's what you are. It's all about the money. Don't talk to me about the fishes and the loaves. Don't talk to me about that.
The money, the cash.
It's about that.
And
it's
also
about
Dallas probably feels like this is vindication for his failure in Hollywood too.
Right. Right. And listen, it's a blessing, you know, when we're pursuing things. I mean, I can look back now, and I can look at many, many instances where God, for one reason or another, I had a plan to go somewhere. I didn't know who was going to be there. And then God brought something up in my life where I had to cancel from going to that event. Then
right.
I find out that I didn't know who was at those events, and I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Because they don't tell they don't tell you everybody who's there.
Right.
Right? I mean, it's just, are you coming? Yeah, okay. These are the dates and blah, 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 and we'll see you. And, you know, the plane ticket arrives and whatever, and that's that. So you say, thank you, Lord, for sparing me.
That's right.
Sparing me from being with these people. Because the few times that I went to see Chuck Pierce, he was at my friend's church. And you got to see Chuck Pierce. And I went there, and I was, I was snoring. And I had to say to I'm sorry, this guy's putting me to sleep. I mean, and not only is he putting me to sleep, he's bad. This guy is bad. I mean, he's bad. Awful. Just no good. Nothing. And they're raving about it. They're like jumping up and I'm saying jumping up and down about what?
I don't know.
I don't get it. But you know, this is what it is. And Dallas and this rabbi and all these people, these consultants, they're not worth a dime. They're not worth a dime. Let's listen a little bit more because they got more on this rabbi.
That she handed to wear when you wear the scapula, you may know the brown little patch there. That's why it's supposed to be cloth, but if your skin is allergic or whatnot, you can wear the metal. But
it's
it is
like wool.
It's wool. It's made of the cloth of the Carmelite habit.
When you remove the veil that pretty much clouds people's minds about Catholicism, you begin to see some really weird and creepy beliefs. There's this idea that if you wear a little piece of cloth, that somehow it's going to spring you out of purgatory early if you wear it while you die. Now, where does it say that in the Bible? One, the topic of purgatory and even the place of purgatory is not in the Bible. And two, the idea that wearing a cloth somehow can atone for your sins and purify you is absurd. It's total nonsense and needs to be rejected. Any sane person would see that and say, this is ridiculous. This is ridiculous. Jesus said, God is spirit, and those who worship must worship in spirit and in truth. He says in John 6 that the flesh profits nothing. What you wear, what you eat, does not save you, does not purify, does not take away sin. The only thing that can take away sin is the blood of Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross.
It comes with something called a Sabbatine privilege, which meant that after you died, the first Saturday after a person died that wore this scapular, they would be released from purgatory, which is not theology, but it's something that was revealed through personal revelation to St. Simon Stock. So it's not something that is necessary for salvation or anything like that, but I guess it's a bonus, can we say?
Extra grace.
Extra grace. Extra grace is the thing.
Wow, I thought Jesus' grace was good enough. I thought, like the hymn writer said, amazing grace. I guess it's not so amazing.
Not quite amazing enough. You got to add to it.
Sure. Sure. All right.
What? Bro, what are you talking about, man?
Because your mind tells you it's a piece of gluten and wafer, it's, you know. But
in your spirit, you know, no, that's Jesus. So,
what? Bro, what are you talking about, man?
Reason for anybody having any kind of experience with Jesus is because, like, when I'm coming into this project, like, that's where I'm coming from. It's like me through this process, which I so love. We call it the source and summit of our life, our Christian life, the Eucharist. And so, for me, I can't get much closer than that, you know?
Hello, and welcome to this scriptural rosary on the Sorrowful Mysteries.
Now think about this for a moment, saints. Let's just pause here for a moment, because he's talking about a wafer. The guy's right. Actually talking about a wafer. So it's not like
the
manna
Eucharist,
from heaven.
Right?
Yes. The Eucharist. He's talking about the gluten, right? The piece of bread. Okay, that has the little stamp, and it has the Catholic stamp on it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's just pause for a minute. He says that that's Jesus. Okay. So you mean to tell me someone operating a machine? Because, you know, those wafers are done by the thousands on a machine, on a conveyor belt. You mean to tell me that somewhere in some factory, some guy is mixing Jesus, baking it into sheets, and then passing it through a conveyor belt where, you know, the cookie cutter comes out and just cuts all those millions of pieces of wafer? That's Jesus? Are you kidding me? You mean to tell me I had a part, if I operate that machine, I had a part in creating Jesus? See, people don't think. That's like if I was to make a tray of chocolate chip cookies, and, you know, I would say to my children, okay, now we're going to have communion, and this cookie is Jesus. Now, my kids, who are little wolf trackers themselves, they would be telling their mother, Daddy has to be committed. He's gone off his rocker. Because they know that I opened up the Pillsbury Zoe package of chocolate chip cookies and I just made Jesus. That's how silly this is. That's how silly. It's just like in churches, they crack open the Welch's grape juice and they pour it into the little cups, right? So you mean to tell me that Welch's they played a role in creating the blood of Jesus? You know, this is just so absurd. You know, in your mind is telling you it's just a piece of bread, but your spirit tells you it's Jesus. Well, my spirit needs to be committed because my mind is correct. It's just so, you know, and people, Sister AJ, people today are just not thinking. They're just not thinking. What say you? Okay, Sister AJ drops. He's back in. Sister AJ, what say you?
I would say that I was going to ask, doesn't they have this, the Catholics teach where the priest has some ability to say this prayer and Jesus comes down and inhabits the Eucharist and that's how it becomes his actual body and the wine becomes his actual blood?
Okay, let's just say that that's the case. All right, so look at how many hands you have making Jesus.
Yeah, a lot of them.
So now we just complicated things because from the guy baking it in the bakery and then putting the sheets of wafer on the conveyor belt so that they can be cookie cut into little wafers, and then the priest has to take it and magically turn it into Jesus. I mean, there's a lot of people involved in this process.
Yes.
A lot of people involved. So, go figure.
well, we know that's not true, but that's what they believe.
Right, that's what they believe. They believe that the priest has the power, the same way they believe that the priest has the power to cancel your sins. Well, how can he cancel my sins just by telling me they're gone? No, it's the blood of Jesus that takes away my sins, not your sacerdotal decree and declare.
Mm-hmm.
The hymn says, "What shall take my sins away? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing. Nothing." And by the way, if the priest can remit your sins, why is it that then you're sent to purgatory to pay for your sins? If he's doing a bang up job in confession, Why is it that you wind up in purgatory anyway? I guess he can't absolve sins.
That's right.
So it's all a mess. It's all a mess. It's a travesty. All right, let's see what else these clowns have to say.
Hello, hello. Oh, that's what I'm forgetting. Hello, Scully.
This devotion that I've become really fond of, called Memento Mori, it's with this skull rings. The skulls are a representative for me as a reminder of you know, the death is imminent. Memento mori means remember that you will die. Remember your death.
Oi, what are you doing? It's been quite a long time, it has. I decided to get back into it and pop on him for a moment and say hello. Hello, how are you? Remember me? My name's Scully. Good to see you. Right then, let's get on with it.
Well, hello. Couldn't resist.
If you notice, in a lot of Jonathan Remy's videos and his photos, he has skull rings. Now, that's based on a practice called Memento Mori, which is thinking about your death. But, you know, the Bible doesn't call us to think about our death. The Bible calls us to think about the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The idea that thinking about my death can make me holy and make me not sin, no. In my own flesh and my own ability, I have no power to overcome sin. But if I think about the reality of what Jesus did on the cross and the power of his resurrection and allow God's very Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to live in me, that gives me power over sin and power to live holy and righteously. So again, we see Catholicism has all of these weird, crazy beliefs. And so pretty much he goes around with all of these skull rings promoting death. Think about your death. Think about your death. No, we should be saying, think about the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's where the power is at.
They had a physical reaction, and it's like the logical mind knows that I'm not Jesus, but then the spiritual heart recognizes, I think, this kindred energy and I think this leaning and yearning towards seeking Jesus and the true Christ.
This post by Brian.
All right, that was it. That's the 2 hour 18 minute mark. Yeah, Jonathan Rumi is an agent of Satan. He's connected to the Jesuits, but let's just go right to the source. He's an agent of Satan. That's all.
That's right. Yes, he is. And what I wanted to get into next, we're not going to move it ahead really far, just mainly it's going to get into an incident that a photographer had during a photo shoot for The Chosen and how Jonathan Rumi behaved. And I found this very disturbing, by the way. And just go a little bit ahead. It's going to be 2 hours, 18:31, and then stop it at 2 hours, 22:24.
So what did he do? He was really, really stupid?
Weird. Yes, very.
All right. Here it is.
Things that I had seen and read in this project. Jonathan Rumi shared Brian Butterfield. Through the eyes of those who met him. And two, that's not God's will or desire for us. We're supposed to encounter Jesus today in the present. Now, testimony is powerful.
Okay, cool. I seem to have... Okay, so you want me to do it from 218... 218:31, right?
Right, to 20 to 2 hour 22:24.
Okay, let's see if I can get it now.
Look at The Chosen has been one of the most disturbing things that I had seen and read in this project. Jonathan Rumi shared Brian Butterfield's Instagram and Facebook post on his own Instagram. And here we see what Brian Butterfield shared about his experience taking photos of Jonathan Rumi. There's a place where Jonathan Rumi's acting and role of playing Christ is causing people to actually see and experience him as though they were talking to Jesus Christ. That's really not a good thing. He starts off his post saying, "Last year I had a life-changing experience. I had the humbling honor of photographing Christ." Throughout the entire post, he doesn't say Jonathan Rumi's appearance. He says Christ's appearance. He goes on to share. He says, quote, "I was then told the actor was always in character and to respond to him as if he were Christ. While on set, he remained in character to give respect to who Jesus is." Now, there's something really wrong there to be having people respond to an actor as Christ. So I have to skip around a little bit to get to the main point, but I'm going to continue quoting what he said. "At this point, Christ started to look onto me. He kept smiling at me. After the few adjustments, it was just him and me and a few pieces of camera equipment. Everyone backed up and stood behind me. From that point on, all the focus was on Christ and I. As we sat down, he whispered to me to give him a moment. He said something to the effect of, quote, 'I need to speak to the Father.' I backed away. As he stayed in character, I watched as the man bowed his head and began speaking in Hebrew. He prayed. He prayed fervently and raised his head and arms to heaven." Because this is so long, I have to go to key points throughout the post, so I'm going to continue. He says, "As I raised my camera to my eye, he was looking down and hunched over. A moment later, Jonathan lifted his head and began to cry. Tears started rolling down his cheeks. He stared into my soul. I could see intense pain and suffering in his eyes, unlike anything I have ever seen. The pain was so intense it shook me to the core, but the fascinating part was hope and love that was in the previous smiling photographs had not diminished. I began weeping and trembling. My eyes were so filled with tears at one point I could not see through my camera, and just as I was about to stop because I was getting too emotional, my mind became calm and silent. He then called me by name. In a very small whisper, he said, 'Brian.' He called my name again and motioned for me to come close. I leaned in, and with a gentle voice, he whispered, 'He loves you.' With those words, I wept. I took a deep breath. He stood up and gave me a hug I will never forget. I settled down, and I turned around. As I turned around, I had forgotten the 20-plus people in the room. As I glanced around, everyone was crying. Everyone had huge tears in their eyes, and I heard lots of sniffling. I noticed the Kleenex had already been passed around, and I requested some. The room seemed to experience the same emotions I had experienced. We still had a few more poses and looks that we needed, so we started again. Our total time with Christ was scheduled for just over 60 minutes. he goes on to talk about how humanizing the show is with the characters and how relatable it makes them. Now, this is really concerning.
All right.
The young man initially said that he found this to be one of the most disturbing things, and so did I. And the other audios that I sent you were to support why I was so disturbed by this, but I don't know if we have time to get into those this week.
We only have 5 minutes left here.
Right. But what I will say is that it has a lot to do with method acting, I believe, is what was witnessed there. And just to suffice it to say, a lot of these actors tap into supernatural things in order to play these parts, because it said he was always in character on the set and wanted to be addressed as Christ. And so, we can listen to this over again and get into why it was disturbing to me. With the other audios, do you have any other comments on what you heard, brother?
Yeah, I think that was a moment of demonic inspiration. That's how I would characterize it, as a moment of the whole atmosphere. You know, when the church says let's set up the atmosphere. Well, the atmosphere was set up. It was all demonic.
Right.
It was all demonic, because no one, absolutely no one, who is playing Christ is going to say, refer to me as the Christ.
I've never heard that before from any other guy that played the role.
But not only that, but, it's sacrilegious. Remember... You're not playing Doc Holliday, or you're not playing Wyatt Earp. If you say, hey, address me as Doc Holliday because I want to stay in character because I got to shoot a scene in a half hour. So just so I can mentally stay. But you, when you talk about refer to me as Christ, and you act as though I was Christ, and then I can hug you and pardon your sins like I was Christ. Now we're in the demonic now. And fact that everybody was moved. Everybody was moved and in tears.
And then he prayed something in Hebrew. He demons know Hebrew.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, so no, this was a demon moment.
Right.
We see it, think about it. We've heard of people. Daryl Strawberry was in a church one time where there was a demon moment, and the pastor said, put your jewelry in the bucket, and Daryl Strawberry put in his World Series ring.
His championship ring. Mm-hmm.
Right. Jim Jones, said drink the Kool-Aid, and people, not all wanted to drink it, but a great many, okay, Father, whatever you say, Father, we'll drink it, Father. Right? Hitler, mm-hmm. look at how many people, you watch those old newsreels and Hitler, making his speeches and those whole crowds energized. That's the demonic.
That's right.
So, well, great show as always. Sadly, time flew by and we're out of time. So we'll get back into this next week. And I'm finding this Jonathan Rumi guy. It's no coincidence that he was picked.
Right. He's not just an actor doing his job.
Right. I believe he was Satan picked. The same way Moses was God picked, this guy is Satan picked. And,
I agree.
All righty. You have the last word, my dear sister. Great job as always.
Well, just thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you next time. Have a great rest of your day and week. Bye-bye.